Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Best Fiends. Download your new favorite getaway, Best Fiends, for free today on the App Store or Google Play. You'll even get $5 worth of in-game rewards when you reach level 5. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Today on another heart-stopping episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, when a mother works a late shift, she takes a break to make a Zoom call to her young son to tell him goodnight. When her son urgently starts telling her of a danger that only he can sense, she takes note. Even more shocking is what the young boy witnessed on his mother's camera.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, our phone number. And if you like the show, you want access to all of our bonus episodes, sign up to be an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Love to hear your ghost stories and love for you to get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes. It is all there, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. All of it commercial free as well, and it helps keep us on the air. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hey, I got to tell you, my sister listens to the podcast all the time.
Oh, cool.
And apparently, one that we did a while ago, I don't remember when it was or what we were talking about, but we were talking about grave plots.
Yeah.
And you had talked about the fact that your mom and dad got a plot.
A 2-for-1.
For both, right? 2-for-1.
A BOGO.
But are they getting buried in the same plot? Is that what it is?
Well, they're going to get cremated. And right. Then they're going to, I guess you put the ashes there. It was a good buy one, get one. It was like a Black Friday sale or something.
Literally. Well, she had to inform me that, yes, indeed, nowadays you don't need to have separate plots if they're being cremated and buried. They just bury them on top of one another.
Only if you're getting cremated, though, right? Like,
correct. Yeah, I don't think you can throw two bodies in a hole. But if you're cremated, I think they can stack them.
Do they have caskets where, like, more than one person can go into the casket?
I mean, I've heard of stuff like that, but can you imagine?
I don't know. Like, and then assume, you know, they die at different times and you got to like pop it open and drop the other one in.
or you, your lover dies and you have to be killed in order to be,
there's probably a market for that. It's like, okay, what happened? Oh, well, and guess what? We're going to save you on the plot too. We're going to get you this job. I don't know. It's crazy. But yeah, they got the 2-for-1. So I guess me turning them into like diamonds or porcelain figures or something like that is totally out of the question now.
I'm just quickly looking it up on Google. It looks like there are some caskets for more than one person.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. You're going to get some really fun ads now that are going to be popping up.
Right, exactly. I just say something now, and later on I'll be looking up slip and slides and stuff like that. But you can buy a coffin for someone with obesity. I mean, there's all sorts of coffins. I didn't realize there was this many.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, and I bet at some point that would almost be like you could fit two bodies in there with a super obese one. Wow. Are there like horse coffins? Are there ones for animals?
Let me look up horse coffins now.
Get on that list.
Yeah, I don't know that I want this stuff just popping up on my timeline.
It's no longer a coffin site. Well, you never know what's going to be out there, what you're going to find at Gordman's someday. It's like, oh, close out on horse coffins. There wasn't a market for that after all. Go figure.
You can actually get a coffin with a horse on it, like a racing horse design.
Sure. There was a casket store of all places in the Wichita West Mall about 10, 15 years ago when I lived there. And they were featured on like Sunday Morning or something, because they made custom caskets that looked like a race car or looked like a poker table or whatever the hell somebody wanted. They could make the casket for that. And you'd be walking through the mall and like in the display window of what used to be a Maurice's is all these caskets. It's like, shit, can you like, or what was the buckle challenge was where you try to go to the back of the store, touch the wall and get out with anybody doing that or saying something to you. I wonder right. if they had that sort of thing there, the casket store challenge. But yeah, I mean, I found it to be a very odd location to be selling caskets. Renting a mall is usually not cheap, although who knows. But yeah, that was an interesting one. It was like right by the Hallmark store.
And what makes you decide to stop in? Like you said, go into the Hallmark store, you stop into Maurice's, get your ear pierced, you know, whatever. Stopping into Regis to get the hair done. And then you stop in and you order a casket.
It doesn't really seem like a stream of thought purchase when at the mall where it's like, oh, like sometimes you have a little kiosk or something in the middle. It's like, ooh, look at this yo-yo. It can fly. That's amazing. Yep. I'll take one of those. But casket? No, not so much. But I guess the main people knew that they existed. I don't know. It was bizarre.
I remember one time walking through the mall and the kiosk was one of those like those planes that they're foam planes and you flip them and then they do these little loops in the air and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
And the guy threw it at the person I was walking with because, you know, it's supposed to go up in the air and like miss you, but it went up in the air and then shot back down and hit the person in the head. It was great.
That's great. I remember one of my favorite mall kiosk things. This would have been from like the late 80s, early 90s, where those computer generated, we called them dot pictures, but they look more like, they kind of look like just like a TV scrambled. And if you were to stare at it for an amount of time and your eyes adjusted, it would like be 3D and you would see whatever the image was of the thing kind of pop out at you. And there would be people just standing around the mall. And if you didn't know what the hell they were doing, they're just standing, staring at a kiosk, like not moving because you got to be still. And it was really kind of bizarre.
I blame that specific kiosk for the downfall of malls in America. Too much standing around, not enough shopping.
Exactly. It's all because of that. All because of the dot pictures. I don't even know what they're technically called. I don't even know how to look them up because they were, I don't know, they were kind of a neat thing for a while. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, first and foremost, I love listening to you guys and this podcast. My mother, sisters, and I all listen to you religiously, and we're never let down when we hear them. We want more, and most recently, I became part of the EPP community and will say it's totally worth it. These short stories I'm about to share are coming from my sister. All are her experiences, and she wanted me to submit them ASAP, considering I'm an EPP and can use the FastPass EPP perks. Here it goes. My mom, my sisters, and I all believe in the afterlife. We believe some do not cross over and therefore linger around. My mom's more so feels that she's had seen and felt friendly presences in our house. Doesn't happen often, but never have I ever seen anything to myself. That is until recently. My stories are fairly short, and I've had several small encounters with something or someone. I'll not lie and say that I haven't questioned myself or that I doubted myself from what I've been experiencing, but I'm not going to because I usually never go against my intuition. It started a few months ago when I would wake up in the morning on my bedroom door to a knock that would be loud enough to wake me up. I have two kids, my son who's 3, my daughter who's 5. I figured it was my daughter knocking, needing me, which prompted me to open my door. Seeing the fact that no one was behind the door, I shrugged it off and went back to bed. This happened to me about 3 to 4 times between 2 and 3 in the morning, with me again thinking it was my daughter, to having no one being on the other end. On every occasion, I felt differently. Sometimes I felt scared. Another, I felt okay. My son sleeps with me every day. When the knocking would happen, he was still sound asleep. But during the times before bedtime, my son was out. I was suddenly afraid of the dark, which is very out of the ordinary. He kept saying that he'd see a stranger in the room and that a stranger would come and take him. The crying would be so bad that it sounded hysterical, as if someone was doing him harm. I ended up lighting up sage and saging the whole house and throwing holy water around. Once I did that, I noticed the knocking stopped and my son stopped crying before bed. Most recently, after about 2 months from the last incident, I was on FaceTime with my son while I was at work. I work mid-shifts. I had some downtime, so I decided to call him. As I was talking to him, being the curious 3-year-old that he is, he asked me where my boss was. My boss leaves before me. I said to my son, he felt already. And in that second, I see the censored light across from me turn on. The fact that the lights do not turn on without motion scared me. At that moment, my son then asked me, well, If your boss left, why was my boss behind me by the door? I asked where, and he was adamant about him being by the door. So I asked if my boss that was behind me was mean or nice, and he said he was mean. He then told me I needed to get out of there, and he began raising his tone as if it was urgent for me to leave. The rest of my workday, I was on edge and was counting down the time for me to leave. That was the end of that. Very, very recently, last night, I was making my lunch for work. My peripherals to the right of me, I noticed a light cloud that moved left to right. I scoped out the room, which is my back porch, and its surroundings, and couldn't see how it was possible for a light cloud or mist or whatever, I shall call it, to be there or where it could have come from. I at that moment felt like I needed to check on my son, and so I sent my boyfriend in to check on him for him to do a prayer. My boyfriend said that he got chills after he did it and just felt tension. I know I'm not crazy. I know what I'm hearing and seeing are very much realistic and not my imagination. All in all, I just want my son and myself along with my family to be safe. Thank you very much for listening. Yeah, I mean, that'd be very creepy on a Zoom call and you see some figure off in the back that shouldn't be there and you have that ominous feeling of danger. Yeah, I don't know that I would be able to stay at work the rest of that day, quite honestly, if I were her.
No, and I've thought about that quite often. You know, we've gotten into a technology now, so a lot of us are doing the FaceTime calls and stuff like that. And for some reason, you know, I've always thought, are there increased occurrences of people seeing things in the background, within the video itself, all that kind of stuff? And I do hear stories from time to time about that. I don't know how I would handle that. I mean, it's bad enough to see something on a video where you're not even, you know, near it, like a closed circuit video or something like that. But to be on the phone with somebody visually and seeing something in the background, that's creepy.
Back to the conversation in just a second. First, I want to talk about Best Fiends. I've been loving this game. Recently was on a long flight and was so happy that I had it. It was my little getaway from the person that was across the aisle that was kind of snoring. And then the other person behind me that was kicking my seat, I needed a moment of sanity. I needed a moment to just kind of get away. I tell you what, this really did save the day. Plus, you can play it without internet. So I could play it offline and I loved every moment of it. It was a long flight and it really did help kill the time. And I was just having a good time. It's a good mental engagement, if you will. I'm on level lower 800s now is where I'm at. I don't know the exact one, but I'm right around there. I've been loving this game for so many years. So many challenges, new levels all the time. Best Fiends is a free-to-download mobile puzzle game with thousands of exciting levels for new adventures and challenges you every single time you play. Dozens of unique fiends to collect so you can customize your team of fiends and defeat the menacing slugs. And with offline play, like I said, you'll never be stranded without the fun, even if you lose your internet connection. Brand new events and challenges pop up all year round, so you've always got a chance to earn exclusive in-game items, characters, and rewards. Download your new favorite getaway, Best Fiends, for free today on the App Store or Google Play. You'll even get $5 worth of in-game rewards when you reach level 5. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Yeah, I would think, just pure numbers-wise, that you'd have more of it. I guess you'd also have to be in tune and really paying attention to catch that as well, though. I think sometimes when you're on those calls, you know, it's easy to not be paying that much attention to yourself on the camera. But if somebody else sees it, that'd be creepy. I had a weird a kind of intuitional moment this weekend. We were working on some food in the kitchen and we needed eggs. So we went out to the chicken coop to go get some eggs. And I know I got another sentence you never thought you'd hear me say. there's like four chickens in there. So there's quite a few eggs. And we tried to pick the ones that looked the freshest. I was unaware of what was about to happen, but I guess it's a thing. Get the eggs in the house. We're going to crack two of them. I go to crack one over the sink and it explodes like a grenade.
What?
Yes, it explodes like a grenade. It smelled like death. So this egg, it just, boom, it sounded like a gunshot went off in the kitchen. And then I just see egg in all different places. And then this smell of death. And my daughter looks at me like, she's going to throw up. And I'm just still kind of like, I'm not even smelling yet because I'm just kind of in shock. And she's like, the smell. And then the smell kicks in. And oh my goodness. It was a bad egg, literally. I think it was because it was in the chicken coop, like kind of roasting in there, that all that pressure built up. And then I brought it into a cooler environment and cracked it and boom. Yeah.
That's so gross.
So note to self, next time you go to the chicken coop, before you crack the egg, let it cool down to the new temperature of the room. Otherwise, it might be a device that explodes. But we lit candles all in that room, not to ward off spirits, but because the smell was horrible. And I even like, because we were still making food. And then I started just like sauteing garlic in bacon grease just to try it. like, let's get some other smells in here that are good to try and permeate it. And we never really got it cleared out in that evening. Now it smells fine. But then we started noticing today that my dog Sting kind of smells like it. So
what happened there?
I think Sting was just nearby. I think, you know, part of it must have hit him and we just didn't really catch it. But he was the last thing to still kind of smell like a rotten egg. So my daughter just gave him a bath just like right 10 minutes ago.
That would be the last egg I ever got out of a chicken coop. I would, from then on, I'd be going like to the nearest Walmart or grocery store to get my eggs.
Oh, we did. We did. And Harper the whole time was just like, Dad, I told you we should have just picked him up at the store. But you insisted we have to get it from the chicken coop. Because I did. I'm like, we got all these eggs out there. Why can't we just use those? Like, it'll just be easier. Just get the ones at the store. But I didn't. I should have listened to my daughter.
Smart child. Yeah. Smart child.
So we learned eggs can be explosive devices. That's exciting. I guess if you really don't like somebody, go get some eggs from a chicken coop that are really hot. And, you know, you toss those at something. That'll make a smell. You want to evacuate a building quickly? Do that. Like, oh, my God. It was horrible.
Gross.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next, it says, hey, guys, I wanted to write in again because I was catching up on a past EPP episode and found a particular one interesting. He said he heard a noise inside his head and it sounded like an explosion at the end. This interested me because when I hear ghosts talk, that's how it is. The sound is best described as inside my head. It's like the voice is literally right inside my ear. Maybe they have to have direct contact with the bits inside your ear to manipulate what they want you to hear or something. I don't know. I think I wrote to you about my story a month ago about our neighbor dying of cancer, and I heard her telling me to spread her husband's ashes outside. I tell everybody about the story. It's the one I use on skeptics, and they can't explain why. On another topic, I wanted to tell you a bit about my sleep paralysis experiences. This one topic is linked to so many other occurrences of mine, so sorry if it's long. The first time I had it, I was around 12 to 13 years old. I opened my eyes and looked around my room, but there was a dream still going on in my head, and three shadow people were coming closer and closer, coming to take me away. It was horrible. My dad heard me trying to scream, but my body was paralyzed. I wanted to note that I've never had the something on my chest feeling that's so often attributed to sleep paralysis, and I've never seen anything on top of me. I only ever see the room I'm in. I've even watched my ex-husband play video games while paralyzed and tried to get him to help me. Most of my sleep paralysis is focused on my parents' house. I get it multiple times in one night while living there, to the point I'd avoid sleeping for as long as possible, days if I could. I had a really rough adolescence living in that house. My mother designed and built it so whatever it is lived on the land prior to us. It isn't human, I promise you that. I've seen other shadow creatures besides shadow people, which I think are creatures or people from another dimension that our ancestors called fairies and other names. Research fairy lore and you'll find that there ain't pretty little pixies we grew up hearing about. One of the weirdest things I saw was a shadow man dog mix thing running across the ceiling at me. Absolutely terrifying. My brother heard me crying in the living room after seeing that one and came out to check on me. Anyhow, I'll tell more later. One involves your podcast. Ooh, well, that'd be interesting to hear how we somehow influence the dead.
That's also creepy in that, like, we could be doing a podcast and somebody hears something. Like, you had that happen when you were actually interviewing somebody, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it happens, actually, as far as me hearing it in real time. It's rare, but I have had so many stories from people saying they were listening to the podcast, and while listening, something happened that almost kind of correlated with the story of the moment that they were listening to.
Yeah, I don't know. That's creepy. And I think that the thought process that maybe they manipulate our ears in order for us to be able to hear what they have to say is also an interesting thought process.
Mm-hmm. I think it is too. I was just, I've been watching The Unexplained with William Shatner on Netflix. Have you watched that at all?
No.
It's kind of good. It's like Rescue 911, except he's talking about ghosts and unexplained. So basically he kind of does his, his hosting duties in front of a big green screen. And then a bunch of other people comment on it. And it's funny because I end up knowing like half the people who are the talking heads on the show from doing this show. They've been guests. And so it's kind of interesting. Like Chad Lewis is on a lot of them. You know Chad at all? He's an investigator in Wisconsin.
Yep.
J. Nathan Couch, I think he's the one on The Goat Man. And he gave us like a tour of West Bend one day with the Goat Man stories. But it's really interesting. There's lots of interesting stories. And they were talking about cryptids on there, on the one I was just watching. And cryptids are something I've never really gotten that into, but I am kind of fascinated by. And one of the interesting points that was made about, you know, some of the creatures that are out there that we have on our planet is there are some that are traced, that have like some sort of I'm not saying it correctly, but some sort of DNA or something that can be traced actually to another planet, where they believe the species got to our planet like on an asteroid or something like that. And one of those species, octopus.
Well, I mean, again, I'm not saying that that's true. I'm not saying it's not true. But if you look at an octopus and what they're able to do and how they operate and the way they think, they're pretty well ahead of, you know, our thought processes. They're kind of a scary little thing.
They are. I mean, if you read up on them, it's like, oh my God, like really? So I guess if you really wanted to kind of go, what does an alien look like? I think octopus is a good place to start.
I've seen so many videos of them like trying to get away. They change their color. They change their size. They sneak through a little hole. They eat off their arm if they need to. I mean, they're just creepy.
I tried cooking one a little while ago.
Did that blow up like the egg too?
No, it did not. But it did taste, people do the charred octopus. And on Food Network, it looks lovely. It's like, we can put some fresh lime and cilantro on here, then a little bit of garlic butter. And oh my gosh, isn't that just to die for? Isn't that amazing? I did it. And I'm like, this tastes kind of like I'm eating like lemon or lime rubber. With some charred marks on it.
I've had squid before, you know, calamari.
I like that.
Not a huge fan of that either, but I would think an octopus would be very tough.
It was. And I did like all the things you're supposed to like marinate it one way for a day or two. And I did all that and it still didn't turn out that great. I like calamari. When that's done correctly, it's very good. But it can be bad too. If you're getting bad calamari, it's just like eating, you know, fried rubber. But yeah. It's interesting. I was unaware of the different planet thing of a species that, you know, survived and lives here. Octopus from another planet. That's interesting. That to me was like, well, if you can do that, then like, what about some of these? Because they're kind of getting at the thing of like other strange creatures like Mothman and other things like that. Well, could those be also, you know, some sort of strange stray species that landed here on something like that, and there really is only a few of them that are alive, and they're, you know, they kind of have properties that are unlike anything else that we know of.
In the woo-woo world, they actually believe that humans are also from another planet, that we came here, at least certain forms of woo-woo-itis, as I call it sometimes, believe that we're from other planets as well, that we're star beings. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know. I don't know if I subscribe to that one. What's your opinion on all the people that go into the lizard people stuff where they're like, and the lizard eyes and this, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that.
I always hate to blow things off because being in, you know, research and investigating and all that, it's very hard for me when somebody says, I don't believe that. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. You have that right. So I never want to totally blow stuff off. But I would hope that at some point down the line of weird stuff, there's a line where we don't cross, you know, where that just can't happen kind of thing.
And I don't know that there really is, because it seems like every time these things get brought up, some of these things that you used to be able to listen to, like, on back when Art Bell was on the air. And I would just listen to for amusement purposes only. And be like, oh my gosh, there's some people here that really need some help. But some of the things, it's like, there's like mainstream belief of some of it now. And some of it's like, well, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of it that's taking advantage of people that are not in the best mindset for political purposes.
Maybe, but also, I mean, how many of the world's governments have come forward now and said, hey, we got to talk about UFOs. So, you know, maybe it's not as far out there as we think.
You might be right. You might be right. It should be like, guess what? Alien species. You can get them at Red Lobster. Calamari.
And our new vice president, Lizard Man. You know, that kind of thing.
That'd be great. I think that'd be a good sitcom. Like the wacky world of the vice president that's a lizard man.
Actually, I think at this point in our history, it'd be good to have like a lizard man president. And then all the lizard people come out and just eat us and do away with our existence.
And then we're done with
the
it.
Way to go.
We finally call it for what it is. Like, oh shit, they are lizard people. We're all fucked. Game over. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, guys. My name is Carla, and I would love to share this experience with you. My mom just passed away a year ago, and on her anniversary day, I had a dream. Well, to give you a little bit of a background, before my mom passed away, we had just found out that my cousin was expecting twins, and so we was all excited. Never had twins in the family. My mom was very, very excited because my siblings and I, we have no kids. So to her, it was something that kind of, like, you know, give her joy during her last days. My dream begins with me taking my cousin's baby to work. One of the twins, I took one of the twins to work. So, first off, my cousin doesn't even live in this country, but in my dream, I had took the baby from her, brought it to the U.S., and I didn't have nobody to babysit for me that day. So I decided to take the baby with me to work and put the baby in the cabinet, thinking that the baby will be safe in the cabinet, in the cafeteria, at my job, till it's time for me to take lunch and feed the baby, change the diaper, and then check on the baby later on through the day. Well, when I went to the cafeteria during my lunch break in my dream, baby was gone. I freaked out. I started crying, yelling, who took the baby? Oh my God, they are going to call DICE on me. What am I going to tell my cousin? And I hear a voice telling me, Carla, go home. The baby is fine. Go home. And I realized that it was my mom's voice. So I drove home, and yes, the baby was laying on my bed next to this shadow figure. And I asked that figure, Mom, is that you? So she replied, yes. And I'm like, oh my God, can I touch you? And she's like, no, I need you to tell Sarah, which is Matias is the baby, and Sarah is Matias' mom. She tells me, tell Sarah that Matias is going to be fine. He's going to be okay. I'm always with him. And I want her to know that everything is going to be fine. So I tell her, okay, Mom, I will tell her, but I'm taking this baby back to his mom because I can't watch the baby, and I'm freaking out right now. If something happens to this baby, I can get in so much trouble. Sarah will get so mad at me, and I will just take the baby to his mom. So my mom tells me it's okay. And I woke up from my dream, and I call Sarah's mother to relate the message or tell the dream. And Sarah's mom wasn't home, which is my aunt. So I spoke to my cousin, which is Sarah's little sister. She's 20 years old. And I tell her the dream and tell her what my mom said. So she tells me, okay, I will tell my mom and I will tell Sarah later on when they come over. And we went about our days. The next day, she calls me and she's like, hey, I need you to call me back immediately. So I said, fine. I called her back and I said, what happened? She told me right after we spoke on the phone, a few hours later, Sarah call me telling me that she's rushing Matias to the hospital because he has a high fever. And my mom is going to stay with her at the hospital because they are scared that something can happen to him. I told them about your dream, and that kind of made them feel better. And they were saying that they know that Matias is going to be fine if your mom said she's with him and she's watching over him. So we are happy to know that my mom, as she told me, my aunt, it's still here watching over us and making sure we are all okay. So that's my experience. I guess my mom comes and tells me that things are going to be fine, or sends me or tells me messages to her family or to people that were her friends. And I mean, yeah, at first it's a little weird, but I guess you learn to live with it. And I have many experiences. I would love to share that with you guys later on. And if you guys have any questions, you guys can put it in the podcast, ask me questions. I don't know. I love your show, guys. And I hope you guys put this in the show. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that story. My thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, having a dream or some sort of communication prior to an event like that happening, and we've had quite a few stories of that, just like that on the podcast, of people who've had like premonition kind of stories. And you can, if you want to, you can go, well, that there's no way that's connected. But it's odd when you have a dream or a premonition and then it turns out to be something right after that. How do you dispel that completely? I don't know if you can.
You know, everybody has stories of their loved ones coming back and giving them, everything's going to be okay. It's all going to work out. Nothing's going to be wrong. What if you had, like, and we always talk about, like, what you're like in life is probably what you're like in death. So what if your loved one in life was always the one that was like, well, I don't know if you should do that. That might turn out really badly. Or just no matter what, kind of giving you like the Debbie Downer type of situations with everything in life. And it's always inserting a little bit of doubt where there may have been confidence. What if you had the dead person coming back like that, where it's like, oh, what's going, like, what do you think is going to, well, you know, anything could happen. It's,
you know. I would hope that when you die, you become very, very much smarter than you are like, you on though? Earth. You know, I would hope. But if you're that kind of person, just stay away from me. Like, I need somebody to come through that's going to uplift me and give me reason to go on with life. Not that kind of thing.
Did you think about this? Did you think about that happening? I don't think you did, Tony. Maybe you should think about it that like. I just wanted a nice visit. I just wanted to say hi. And you're like, well, you know, have you fed the cats lately?
That's so funny, because there are people in your life like that. Yes. And you're right. Probably when they pass, that's exactly what they'll be like on the other side.
I'll be like, hey, you know, my grandkids are like doing this or that. What do you think about that? You know, anything could happen. Have you cleaned the litter box? Have you cleaned the litter box lately? Because I don't like...
I don't know if you should let the kids play on the slip and slide. That might not be a good idea.
No.
Although knowing you, it might be a good idea to have that in the back of your mind.
Yeah, well, it goes regardless, because it's been built in. I think all of childhood allowed that to just be kind of a permanent fixture of my brain that I have tried to learn to turn off. Because it's just like,
it's impossible. I've got it too. What would mom and dad think if I did this?
Oh,
you know?
My God. Yeah. And it would be two conflicting stories, and it just makes it even worse. It's like, nothing makes sense. But as long as the litter box is cleaned, we're all good. So that's if I wanted my mom to haunt me when she, because she's alive. She's very much alive. But if it was ever like, I really want to have my mom haunt me, it would be get a cat and don't clean the litter box. And, you know, and really be like very like passive on feeding it. Like, I'll feed it when it's hungry. You know, it's like, then suddenly shit would go down.
Tony, don't use the eggs from the chicken coop.
Exactly.
That's not a good idea.
Exactly. That's how it would work. That's how it would work. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and so much more. We greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Todd and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.